Okay, we're holding. On that, Yud, on the base. One line up from the bottom of the dot. Tan Rabbana, Ein Ma'abrim Et HaShana, Ela Demizumanim La. The only people that are able to participate in the Beit Din, which does the Ibur HaShana, are people that have been invited by the Nasi to join this Beis Din in advance. Ma'aseh Rabban Gamliel She'amar Hashkimu Li Shiva'ala Aliyah. And once Rabbi Gamliel was the Nasi, actually told people to invite the day before, wake them up early in the morning, and we'll meet them in this special Aliyah in which President used to meet. And they will be the Mizumani. Hishkim, he gets up, he goes up to the Aliyah, Matzah Shimona. He finds eight people instead of seven. And he found eight. Omar, Mihu Shalah Shalom Bereshut.
Tough guy.
Yered. Whoever it is, out. Amat Shmuel HaKatan v'amar aniu she'aliti shelo b'rashut. Shmuel HaKatan gets up. Now, it wasn't really him. Actually, he had been invited. But he said, I was the one who came without permission. V'lo la'aber shana aliti. I didn't come in order to participate in the Beit Din. I needed to learn the dinim about how this is done. So I wanted to watch you. Actually, those of us who remember the Yerushalmi here from our many years ago will recall that he was asking this story in the Yerushalmi, he was asking a different question, not to do with this. I needed halakalamites for something. And so, Rabbi Gamliel saw it was Shmuel HaKotan. I mean, he was the greatest. So he said, oh my goodness, Shev Beni Shev, I'm sorry, sit please, my son. You could be the one in charge of all of the Ibur HaShana from now till doomsday. The only reason that I mentioned it is because if you weren't one of the ones that had been initially invited, then you simply aren't allowed mitzad adin, but it certainly is not that I didn't think that you were roy.
Isn't that the Aliyah where he had the
I don't even think that was the same Rabban Gamliel.
Oh, really?
This is Rabban Gamliel, the Chorim. But maybe, let's check it out. V'lo Shmuel HaKatan Havi, Elayna Shachrin Havi. The truth is, it wasn't him at all. He wasn't the one who had come up with Abishus. He had been invited. U'machmat Kisuf Al-Hudi Avad. He did this in order to avoid embarrassing the individual who had been invited.
Had not been invited.
I mean, who had come without invitation. Now, in the Yerushalmi, it's clear that because Rabbi Gamliel chopped what was going on, they canceled the Moshav HaBeit Din. And instead, they spent the whole day having a lot of fun with Dinim and so on, and made Shmuel HaKotan very happy. And they made a new Beit Din the next day, and that way it never became clear who it was that hadn't been involved. I mean, here it's mashma that they were done, but they didn't, you know, they didn't complete it, so it never came to a vote with those people, and they perhaps, therefore, it wasn't at least publicly clear who it was. Kihad Yosef Rebbe, there was another story like this, and the Shmuel HaKatan was doing the same thing that happened in the days of Rebbe. He was darshaning, and all of a sudden he smells garlic in the room. Now that was ridiculous. I mean, to walk into a shir after having smoked. Omar, Misha Chal Shum Yetze, whoever was smoking, out. Omad Rabbi Chia v'yatzas. Rabbi Chia gets up and walks out. Amdu kulam v'yatzu. They all knew that it wasn't Rabbi Chia, so they all got up and left. B'shachar, now the next morning, Matzo Rabbi Shimon bar Rabbi, Rabbi's son Rabbi Shimon, meets Rabbi Chia. Omad le'atahu shetziyat al-ahava. You're the guy who made that big tumult yesterday, coming in there, smelling like a chimney. So he said, Amal lo, lo teka zot Yisrael chas v'sholom, that you should be choshesh. This is how Rashi learns that you should be choshesh that it was I who walked in having smoked. I never would do such a thing, and I only did it in order to avoid being embarrassing somebody. But it wasn't me. Now, others learn that the pshat is that he was angry at the very fact that Reb Chiya had done that. In other words, you're the guy who made a tumult, was mavato the shir, had everybody walk out, or who do you think you are, Bechlal? In making a stand against Rebbe, you don't think that you should have been mechabed Rebbe? And he said, lo take azot b'Yisrael, we cannot allow a public embarrassment of someone to be chal, even if it causes Rebbe tzar. Now how did Rebbe Chiya know that that was okay to do? There's a source for this. Rabbi Chiya Mehecha Gomerla. He learned a story from Rabbi Meir. The Tanya Maaseh B'Yishachat Shibata Beit Midrasho Shal Rabbi Meir. A certain woman walks into the Beis HaMedrash of Rabbi Meir, Amrala, and she says to him, Rabbi, Echad Mechem Kitchani Bivya. Now, I don't want to say any names, but one of you claimed that he had in mind to take me as a wife when he slept with me, and I accepted that as kedushin. And I expect him either to take me to the chuppah or to give me a get. But, I mean, what am I supposed to do? Wait around for him to fess up? Amad Rabbi Meir v'katav laget. So Rabbi Meir said, okay, I'll write you a get. So he writes her a get, three toots. V'natanla. He gives it to her. Amdu kulam. The entire Beis HaMedrash gets up. V'natnula, they all cut their right again, and they all give her again. So this way, the guy was covered. He didn't want to embarrass him publicly. And even though he
the woman has a reputation as the match.
So, well, this is a serious issue, I mean, because everyone who gave a get was also on her kroivim also. So this is not a game.
Did he give any money?
It was before. It was before the chuppah.
I thought we just didn't like that malchus thing.
Well, malchus is not as bad as embarrassment. I mean, embarrassment is a measure.
Malchus is not as bad as embarrassment. No, I understand. I'm letting that sink in.
But
everyone's going to know it's him.
Even if you do something wrong, who would know? Who would
know?
Nobody
would know.
Well, you give someone malchus, but that's where it's nizgala. But we don't go. We'll see what the makor is. This is a very ancient makor. Now, how did Rebbe Meir? Doesn't hurt. Rebbe Meir Mihecha Gomar, how did Rebbe Meir know that this was correct? He knew this from Shmuel HaKatan. Shmuel HaKatan, but where did Shmuel HaKatan know it from? Well, Shmuel HaKatan learned it out from Shechaniel ben Yechiel. Because when in the time of Ezra and Nehemiah, when they were complaining that it's a disaster here and that people, they called everybody together under threat of confiscation of all of their property, made a big tumult and a big fuss about how everybody's been marrying non-Jewish women, and they're going to have to get rid of these non-Jews. So Shechaniah ben Yechiel, who does not appear in the list of the leaders who had married Goyish women later, which is written, he gets up, and he does the weirdest thing. He says, Vayan Shechaniah ben Yechiel ben Me'elam, Vayom el Ezra. He says to Ezra, Anachnu ma'alnu be'Eloheinu v'noshav nashim nochriot mi'amei ha'aretz. It's not the end of the world. V'ata yesh mikveh li'Yisrael hazot. There's still hope. Relax. Because Ezra was going absolutely wild. I mean, this was a rather astonishing thing to do in the middle of that. That was like the biggest public re-entry into Bris and so on. He felt that this was making such a tumult that not only was it dangerous in terms of people feeling that all hope has been lost, but that it was also embarrassing. And he included himself. He says we, as if it was him. But there's what to do. And from that point on, they stretched out. It's interesting. Instead of demanding an immediate everybody get up here and write it, get and so on and so forth, they let things ride and gradually they took care of the issue. Then this was because of Shechaniah.
You wouldn't have to write again, would you?
No, but whatever the government issues were at the time. So to be Megarish then.
Maybe the use of the word mikveh is also a hint.
Yes, of course. Sure. V'shechanya ben Yechiel. Now, how did Shechanya ben Yechiel know that? I mean, this is an extremely nervy thing to do in front of Ezra. So how did he learn that that was the right thing to do? He learned it from Yehoshua. V'chsiv v'yomer, and it wasn't from Yehoshua, it's actually from the Shechinah. V'chsiv v'yomer Hashem Yehoshua, Kum lach, lo mazeh ata nofel al panecha, chatzai Yisrael. What are you sitting here davening to me for why it is that the war over here has failed? It's because Yisrael has sinned. After Alchan. Amalafanav, Ribono Shel Olam, mi chatah, just tell me who it is, we'll take care of it. Amalaf, what are you crazy? This he deal to me, what do you think I am? I've got a tattletale, you ask me who sinned, I should tell you who sinned. Lechatel Goralot, go figure out who sinned yourself. Which is interesting, because everybody thinks it's God who makes the Goralot come up. So you see that you don't embarrass people. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew who it was, but he wasn't going to say. It's got to be Yisrael. Now you deal with it. It's like, oh, somebody ate shum. Go deal with it. V'baisema mi Moshe. It could be Moshe. Tachsiv ad ana me'antem. Over here, we talk about me'antem as if everybody had gone out to take from the man and so on. So, including Moshe himself. Again, there's no exposure.
Moshe went out to get the man?
No, I'm saying, but Hashem talked to him, look at this, none of you believe in me. And then, I mean, there was Besach HaKol, a couple of guys. I mean, what's the... yeah, but it doesn't say that. It doesn't say that that's the drive over here. Otherwise, the Gemara should say, how can you learn it from there? And maybe it's just because everybody's chayav that they weren't Mineya.
Right, but we do address it by the same issue of Yisrael, but the Yisrael.
How do you know? I know. The shy liz is whether those drushes are connected to this Gemara. No, I mean, it says Beferish I'm saying, but it's there's a reference also in the Mizbeach that Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven make, and where the Shvatim are Mazkir, that God gets angry at all of Klal Yisrael, even when just a few people sin. So, in other words, if it wouldn't be for that, it couldn't be said in this fashion. It would be a different thing. It would have said, Anoshim Chato. In other words, there's two different issues. First of all, not being Megala. Secondly, I'm putting the onus on you. The other Gemara is concentrating on the fact that there was no Gilui. And that comes clearly from the sense that afterwards we need to have the Goralot and so on. I mean, otherwise, you're speaking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's telling you Chata Yisrael, so tell me what to do already. Do I have to go through this whole Goralot thing? Obviously, it wasn't going to happen that way. But I think this is very important in terms of Purim, right? The relationship of Goralot to God not saying. Very important. Son Rabbanu. Mishemetu Nevi'im Achronim, Chagai Zechariah Malachi, since we've mentioned Shmuel HaKatan, Nistalka Ruach HaKodesh Mi'Yisrael, we're bringing this in now to show the darga of Shmuel HaKatan. Even though Ruach HaKodesh, clear Ruach HaKodesh was Nistalka, Afapike now you mishtamshim bebat kol. Nonetheless, they used to be able to hear a bat kol. Bat kol, the Tosfos explains the meaning of a bat kol would mean that it's one step removed from the kol. That's the sense. And the same, it's a metaphor. In the same way that an echo is one step removed from the source, because now it's bouncing off of something else, a bat kol is one step removed from the Nevi'ah, because it's bouncing off, so to speak, of something else. You're not getting a direct communication. The metaphor stands as it is. I mean, it's a beautiful metaphor. I'm hearing, basically, the vibrations of something else that are vibrating in sync with the thing that hit them and generating sound going the other way.
Different than a Sharia.
Much different, sure. Yeah. So, no, it's a source below. That's why it's called a bat.
It's a secondary source.
Pa'amachat, and an example of this is, that once ayu mesubim ba'aliyat bitguria b'yericho, they were once in Yericho, in the Aliyah of Beit Guria. It also was a mokum in which the Chachomim used to gathered together. V'nitna alehem bat kol min hashamayim. That said as follows. Yesh kan echad sh'ra'uy sh'tishra alav shechina. Now, some have the gear says that Mashal takes out this Kemoshe Rabbeinu, because sh'tishra alav shechina Kemoshe Rabbeinu is mashma in terms of neviyut, which is a contradiction to the v'lo kam neviyot v'yisrael Kemoshe. So in what sense could you say sh'ra'uy sh'tishrav shechina Kemoshe Rabbeinu ela she'in doro zakai lakach? Anyway, you couldn't have a Nevi'ez Kemoshe Rabbeinu. It had nothing to do with the Doros or Kuilakach. So he takes out Kemoshe Rabbeinu. However, in so many places we find this, that it says Kemoshe Rabbeinu. There's attempts to answer the Mashal. And there's some taina that it means Hashras Hashchina in terms other than Nevi'ez. In other words, Hashras Hashchina maybe in Kiddusha, because maybe some of his other inyonim, like the Anivis that we compare a little to, and so on. Which is difficult, because Hashras Hashchina, it generally is in the sense of for communication. And it didn't say who. Natnu Chachamim et Einehem b'Hillel HaZaken. The Chachamim looked to this as a reference to Hillel HaZaken, and Mashal lists many ways that Hillel HaZaken was actually similar to Moshe Rabbeinu. He lived the same number of years as Moshe Rabbeinu. He died at 120. He was a Nasi for 40 years, exactly as Moshe Rabbeinu was in Melech for 40 years. And so on. I mean, he was known for his anivus. That was his whole godless, was his anivus. And Moshe Rabbeinu was the onav mikol adam. That I don't know. Not that I know of. I don't know. And so, kishemet amru alav, hey chassid, hey anav, talmidot shel Ezra. We call him talmidot shel Ezra because he followed in the footsteps of Ezra coming up from Bavel and being malamid, not being only malamid, but actually being making the all of Torah. Shuf pamachat, that it was the same maisa, and later, where they were mesubim ba'aliyah b'yavne, v'nitna lehem batko min hashamayim, yesh kan achat sh'ra'uy sh'tishra alav shechina, ela she'in doro zakai lakach, natnu chachamim et einehem b'shmuel hakatan. And there they looked at Shmuel hakatan, and on him too kishemet amru alav, v'chassidei anav, talmido shel Hillel. And in fact, at the time of his death, it became clear that he really did have elements of Hashrat Hashchina, because as he was dying, Afhu Amar B'Sha'at Mitato, he said on his deathbed, Shim'on V'Yishma'el Chorva, that Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel and Rabbi Yishmael Kohen Gadol are going to be murdered by the sword, that the Romans will kill them. The Chavrui Liktala, and the other Chaverim, which were the other Asora Ruge Malchus, will be murdered in various ways. V'Shar Amal Aviza, the rest of the people are going to be nivzaz by the Romans. Va'akan sigin atidin lamete alama, and many troubles are about to fall on the world. And when Yehuda ben Bava was murdered by the Romans, while Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava bichulo marken, elashenitrafasha, they wanted to say that about him too, heyanav, hechasid, but they couldn't do it because of the problems of the times. Because Ein Maspidin al Rugei Malchut, they had gotten Rishus to bury him, which was itself a very important thing. There were many times that the Romans insisted on crucifying the guy and not allowing him to be buried, and they were afraid that if they would say anything, they would make a hespit or something, that the Romans would take that, first of all, as being itself an insurrection. Maybe they would kill the guys who would say hespit, but they certainly would prevent a burial, a Jewish burial of other people that they would murder, and they felt, therefore, it was kedai not to say anything. Because we don't say hespedin legally on the Harugei Malchus. We'll see. We'll see more about the timing coming up soon. We're going to see that question coming up. Tana Rabbana, Ein Ma'abrim Et Hashana, Ela Im Kein Yirtze Nasi. The Ibur Hashana requires not only the Beitin process that we spoke about, but it also requires the Nasi's agreement. There was once a Maisa where Rabbi Gamliel was going to get permission. Now, some learn that this means, not like Rashi, it means permission for the Ibur Hashanah. And the reason that the government might be against Ibur Hashanah was because it would affect payment of taxes by the Jews who had arranged for their taxes to be paid at the same time that the various things become mutter, bachila, and so on, in terms of what the Nogay, if they were going to make it a month later, then that means their tzvua would still be osur b'chodesh, they wouldn't be able to do business, they wouldn't have the money to pay the taxes, and so on, and so he needed to get rishus from the government. Rashi learned stam, he thought rishus means he was working on some kind of public good, and he needed the involvement of the government, and so he went to the Romans in Syria.
Did Rome recognize our calendar? The thing independent of theirs? And they gave us that permission?
I don't know, but whatever was arranged. I don't know if it was in terms of a calendar, but I mean, we certainly find Lagabe contractual dating and so on is that we're supposed to use their dating.
Is there any way to know which Roman wheel this is?
We will see. Vishahalavo, he waited and didn't get back in time for the Ibur. So Bezdin was Ma'abra Shana Amenat. So it was like, here's the whole question. Some time this should be totally in Brera. And then there's a great, this is the Uriah, so how can you be Samech on Brera? This is one of the Achorinish rated. So when he said, no, of course, it's fine with me. So the Shana was Mu'uberet from before.
And what would it be? Oh, so they're not holding by it yet.
Right? What? No, he came back after. That's the problem. They were Ma'abar the Shana without him, but he gave his formal approval when he returned. So it would be Nisan.
I mean, it could be.
Yeah. Obviously, this was a formality. Tana Rabbanan, Ein Ma'abrim Et Hashana Ela Im Ken Hayta Tzricha. We only do an Ibur Shana where we find it to be essential Mipnei Hadrachim Umipnei Hagisharim Umipnei Tanurei Psachim Umipnei Galiot Yisrael Shenekru Mimkomam V'adayin Lo Higiu. So, now, the truth is we're going to see here, and it's important to note up front, we're going to see here three separate brises that talk about three different sets of reasonings to be Ma'abar the Shana. As we mentioned earlier when we did the Mishnah, the Ibur Hashana was a complex issue that needed to take into consideration many different aspects. Now, Tosis is bothered by the question, why don't we just put all of these together? Why do we have three separate brises with three separate concepts in them? And so, he says the primary brisa, which we'll see soon, about the Tkufa and the Aviv, and those things that are the D'oraisa elements, the Bryce over there talks about two out of three of these things being the factors that determine whether you're Ma'abar the Shana. Mashenkin, this list over here, even one of them would suffice to be Ma'abar the Shana, because they are logistically impossible without, in other words, if the bridges are out to Bava, or if the Goliaths have already left and there's no way that they're going to make it, which means that if that happens and they come and they turn back around to go home, that's the last time anybody's going to be coming to the Ella Larego. You know, because, I mean, the massive logistic effort that was required for Ella Larego from Bavel and to have it not work because people couldn't see to it that it would work out would simply have made it just nobody would do it again.
But now they're going to wait for much.
And now they're going to wait. It's going to be for a month and a half. They're going to be waiting for less than a month. They're coming late already. Right, so. But we know they can't make it. We know they've gotten stuck. They've already been okay. We can't tell them not to leave anymore.
Right.
So, what can we do? There's nothing to do. Let them. They'll come, wait, and they'll go back. That's preferable than coming and finding that they don't have an opportunity.
Right.
If they want to go back, let them go back. But at least it wasn't a smack in the face.
Exactly. I'm just saying, the consequence that this is before Rosh Hashanah.
There's no, what else is to understand? What, do you want to be Ma'abar the Shana with a half a month? What are you asking?
It's a month and a half that they're waiting.
No, sweetheart. They're going to arrive late for Pesach. The reason we need to be Ma'abar the...
Rosh Chodesh.
They're coming up to bring the Korban Pesach.
They're going to arrive late. We see that they can't get here. So we're going to have them wait less than a month till the next Pesach.
This is an exception to the Gemara Rosh Hashanah. I'm going to be ma'aber even after it's Rosh Chodesh Nisan.
They left before us.
You have so much information.
What am I missing?
If it's still Adar, and I'm now adding another month.
Because they can't make it by Pesach.
Pesach is the middle of Nisan. Yeah. It's going to be an extra 6 weeks now.
But there's nothing.
They're not going to arrive. I'm going to be able to get them to turn around and go back. They're not in.
Barnea, please calm down. Barnea, calm down. These people are currently on the road. It's going to take them 3 weeks to get here. In 3 weeks, it will be after Pesach. Therefore, we bar ma'abah the Shana, so that in 3 weeks, it will be the 21st of Adar Sheni. They will then wait another 3 weeks until Pesach.
Okay.
All right? Fine. So for that, for reasons such as these, washing out the bridges, we know they won't be able to get. Or they've already left and we see progress has been excruciatingly slow. They're not going to make it. Or we simply have roads that are washed out. This case is sufficient, says Tosfos, in and of itself to make us be ma'aber the Shana. Masha Enkin, later on the Sibot, in the Brisa of the Tkufa and the Aviv is 2 out of 3. And in the other Brisa, which has to do with agricultural issues, the size of the animals and so on, that are going to be brought as karbonas, none of them would be sufficient. They're only adjuncts to other issues, as we'll see. So therefore, we have 3 separate Brises with 3 separate sets of criteria, each of which works differently. So this first one is the logistics that are themselves, any one of which is definitive. And so, if we have a Shana, Mipnei Adrachim, Mipnei Aksharim, or Mipnei Tanurei Pesachim, there will be no way to get that Korban Pesach baked, not baked, but broiled, because the Tanurim have collapsed, the dirt is, everything is wet. It's been a very damp time. Or Mipnei Goloyot Yisrael Shenekrumi Mekomam Adayin Lo Higiyu. Aval, but we do not ma'aver the Shana because of inconvenience. So if there's heavy snowfall, and therefore people are going to have a difficult time in the Aliyah Lerego, or Mipnei Hatsina, or it's freezing, and people are going to have a difficult time. So lo Mipnei Hasheleg, velo Mipnei Hatsina, velo Mipnei Goliot Yisrael, shelo akru mimekoman, even though we know that there's been a tremendous effort to get everyone out, and people have been packing for weeks, and businesses have been shutting down, but no one has left yet. We could still tell them, don't. We could tell them whatever we want. In other words, we don't care about the planning that they've had.
Where's the shelter in Messina? In Bubble? On the way here?
On the way here, yeah.
Were the people in the
Golden? Yeah.
Well, this is a very interesting question. Here it's a mashma that they had to come up to bring their Korban Pesach. But they were, we're making such a big deal of it. But that's not so partial to the chiyuv. This whole separate question: is it mamshe chiyuv, or is this something that they were doing on their own? No baruch from here.
Are you dealing specifically now with Pesach?
No.
For snow and
when else? When else are we dealing with?
Would be Sukkot.
But we can't be ma'arba the Shana for Sukkot. We could only do before Pesach. I mean, they'll know by then what the month is.
Okay, that's logical.
Tanu Rabbanan, Ein ma'abrim et Hashana. We cannot do an Ibur Hashana lo mipnei hagidiyim, velo mipnei hatla'im, velo mipnei hagozalot shelo pirchu, avol osim otam sa'ad l'shana. So we will not do an Ibur Shana based on the animals being very young, and people are going to want to have these karbonas available. Remember, people have been saving up the karbonas that they need for Leda, for Ziva. Then they have their few of Karbon Ria. According to Rambam, the Karbon Ria itself could be an oaf. That's his Kiddush. And so the problem over here will be that if somebody's going to be bringing a Korban Pesach, he doesn't want to bring a small animal because he'd like to have a Korban for his family. It's a celebrate avot. If the animal is small, he's going to have to split his family into two kaburas, because there won't be enough. If not a kezias for everybody, then it's no good.
These animals are in Eretz Yisrael? Are we talking
about? Yeah, these animals are in Eretz Yisrael. What are you going to do with it? They're very small. So okay, it's not that you can't bring the carbon, but it's going to put a tremendous, first of all, it's an economic pressure. It's going to drive prices up. So if you don't have the gozalot, you might still have the yonah, but you don't have the torim. So okay, it'll drive up prices, and it's inconvenient, and so on. And that's not a reason to be ma'ar b'dashana. But we can make it a sad. We can make it an additional point for ibur hashana. Ketzad, what do we mean by that? Says Rabbi Yanai, Mishum Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. Here is an example. And now here we get into the issue that Barnea has been itching to talk about, in which Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel proclaims the following. Mohoda'in anachnu lachon. We do hereby inform the constituency around the world, the guzlaya rekikin, the imraya da'adkin. First of all, we want you to know that the birds are very young at this point. And we want you to know that the sheep is very thin. They're still very young. Not to mention the fact that Zimna da Aviva lo mat, actually it's not spring yet. The Shafaret Milta ba'anpai, and I believe that it is a good idea, and therefore Osifit al Shatata Platinumin. I have added to the year 30 days. And now here we get into the problem. Was Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, is this Reb Shimon ben Gamliel speaking to people who are going to be coming and bringing karbanas, which would mean that this is Reb Shimon ben Gamliel who is living before the Churban. And I believe that was what Barnea was. Fine, okay, that is not important right now for us. But your question wasn't that one. The question is this one.
No, it isn't that one.
You don't know who that one was, so I don't know what you're asking.
The question is, the big historical question is, was there a Yavne before Rabbi Yochanan Mizrachi says, Tamei et Yavne b'chachameha? Is there already an Yavne
Yeshiva? I see. Because there is an overall question. Was there a Reb Shimon ben Gamliel who lived here as Nasi before the Churban? Some learn from here, and this was one of the big issues when they wanted to, before the Tchelas problems, when they wanted to bring Korbanas in the previous century.
This was a riot?
This was a riot that people were bringing Korbanas even though it was after the Churban. So you see that at the Makam HaMizbeach they continued to bring Korbanas. Now, the reason given by all those who were anti the Zionist movement to re-bring Korbanos was the time that there was no Tchelas, which is when the Tchelas was found, which caused an uproar, of course. It was good because it wasn't really Tchelas, but anyway, but that was one of the big issues. The Regina Tchelas came at that time, which was an awfully bad time to find Tchelas. In the middle of a whole political uproar.
It's probably why.
All these things are Shams and Girsis, right? And Perkei Avos and elsewhere. How many Doros are there from Hillel to Reb Gamliel of Yavne? Some people take out Reb Shimon Beno.
I don't know. That's the reason that we're Mesupik? Okay, I didn't.
That's different from my question. I'm saying there's another one. Is this?
Oh, okay, I don't know whether that makes the difference to this. I'm not sure. Because the only clear cut solution to why we shouldn't bring Korbanos was that Tchelas is Ma'akev the Big Day Kahuna, and Big Day Kahuna is Ma'akev the Kahuna because they have a din of Zorim. So how could we bring Korbanos? So that was one thing nobody could figure a way out of. Except by finding Tchelas.
Are they making Big Day Kahuna?
I'm sure.
I didn't see what Tchelas said, but they have with them. Well, that I've seen. Yeah, they could love it.
That's right.
If it was available, they'd be doing it.
So, Meisve. So now you'll notice that in the... Oh, by the way, there's a third option here. the third option that some learn is that it was Ketzad that Rabbi Yannai is saying, well, this would have been the announcement, which is rather stretching it. But anyway, that gets out of the whole question.
This is the Seud we're saying?
Thank you. I forgot to explain that. Thank you very much. The main point, we got into all these little tourist guide issues. The main issue we forgot. So what does Sa'ad mean? So Rashi says over here, Sa'ad means that even though later on in the Brice it says, Alechad mi'em ein ma'abrim, rak al shnayim mitoch ha-shlosha, we could use one of these as a Sa'ad to one of those. But we wouldn't be able to take two of these, so we can't put it in the same Brice. But given one of the prime issues in the Brice to come, with one of these secondary issues is the equivalent of two issues in the Brice to come. That's how Rashi learned. The Rambam understands this as simply meaning, it's a sa'ad, meaning exactly the way we'd use it today, sa'ad. Sa'ad means psychological help, essentially, it's support. In other words, people don't like the idea of Bezdin's playing with the months, Bezdin's playing with the years. It inconveniences, it's bound to inconvenience somebody. And the more reasons that you have for explaining to people that it's a good idea, the better. And therefore, we included as a sod in the announcement of the Nasi, says the Rambam, simply to make it more popular. It just means sod. People like psychological help, that's support.
Exactly. Standard time is the problem here.
That there's a lot of discussion. Why does it say it first? So you see that the issues that we talk about here are not in order of importance either, as Oriel's pointing out. Because the first thing that he mentions are the things that people like to hear. Which gives support for religion at an early date in Jewish history.
Just not being spring alone, Makar should be enough for you.
That's a question which we'll discuss shortly.
Okay. Just read from Rashi?
Yes, sir.
It says, in order that they were coming lalosa regala sosis lehen, lo yavu lo yagiu lavo bepesach. So that would be specifically Pesach and not any of the other shows.
Yeah. We weren't really discussing it, but we can put that.
I asked a silly question. That's how we were discussing it.
We will be medaic from okay.
Moving along.
We're trying. This is a raya, I think, to me, in my avoidance of the coffee syndrome all year. You'll notice that it tends
to loose.
Tends to be mitfashate.
Coffee,
please. That's what it is.
Ah, if we would have kept him busy.
up.
We do something like this. Chas v'shalom, I don't mean it as a reference to Barnea, but we do have an approach like this on Yom Kippur. It's called the Soyer Lazazel, where we provide a good seuda for the Sutton to keep him busy while everybody else is busy doing the Aveda. Very good. All right. Now, the problem is that Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, Reb Shimon ben Gamliel in this case said that we are adding 30 days to the year. But we have a problem with that because Meisvei, we ask from the Braisa, Kama Ibur Hashana Shloshim Yom, Reb Shimon ben Gamliel in a Chodesh. So how could Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, who's saying Chodesh as opposed to Shloshim Yom, obviously meaning 29 days, how could he have been the one that announced in his declaration of the Ibur that it seems that we shall add 30 days if he's saying here 29 days. Omer of Papa, that doesn't mean it has to be a Chodesh. Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, oh God, I hate them. Reb Shimon ben Gamliel says it could be a Chodesh. So Omer of Papa, here we go. Ratzur Chodesh, Ratzur Shloshim Yom. Oh, they build it up. They build it up. Oh God. No, there's nothing like this in London. Nothing. This is absolutely horrific. It was done by the Turks who provided them the right to bring in a bell as long as it sounded horrible. And they kept it since then.
And it's boy, Armenian
style. Like I, wait like till you
a
hear it.
And a ladle. Mm-hmm.
Awful.
No melody, nothing.
No, I didn't have melody.
Tachosi, note, my ika, bent tikifoi kadmoi. Take a look at the difference between the earlier Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Gamaliel, who was known to be as tough as they come, tough as nails. He was the whole miser when he forced Rabbi Yeshua to stand up there and forced him to come in for his Yom Kippur, and he absolutely tolerated no deviation whatsoever. Look at the difference between Rabbi Gamaliel, who was known as a takif, and Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, who is known for his anava. Because here, you'll notice that Reb Shimon ben Gamliel said, and it appears to me correct, no mention about anybody else, but Rabbi Gamliel, who also had sent around a message in his days, and it read as follows. We're trying to show that the vicious people in earlier days were more profoundly anava, had more profound anava than the people famous for their anava in the later days. So, because when Rabbi Gamaliel wrote a mitzvah like this, a mitzvah Rabbi Gamaliel said, Yosheva Gabi Ma'aleh Ba'arabayit. Rabbi Gamaliel was sitting on one of the stairs going up to the Arabayit, which does not mean that it was before the Churban, because as the Mefarshim points out, the Ma'alot of the Arabayit survived the Churban, as one can easily see outside the window. Vaya Yochanan Sofer Halaz, the famous Yochanan the Sofer, was Omed Lefanav, holding Shalosh Igarot Chatuchot, ready to be written on, Munachot. Amar lo Rabbi Gamliel said to him, all right, take a letter. Here's the first letter. Tula Garta Chara, Uchtov, take one letter and write as follows. Lachana ben Egelila Yelav, Lachana ben Egelila Tata. To our brothers who live in the Galil Elyon, and our brothers who live in the Galil HaTachton. Shalom Chon Yazkeh, some have the Lashon of La'alam, which is mashma, it's necessary from the Gemara later, as we'll see. May your shalom grow forever. Mahodein Anachnu L'chon, we want you to know, Tizman Biura Mata, it is coming close to the time of the Biur Ma'asrot, Lafrushe Ma'asrami Ma'atana de Zeta, you guys who grow a lot of Zetim, see to it now that you take care of your Ma'asrot. V'toli Gartachana, I take another letter. Uchtov, write as follows. Lachana b'nei deroma, to those of our brothers in the southern areas. Shalom chon yazgeh. Mahodi'in anachto lachon, we want you to know, Dizman biura mata lafushi ma'asrami omre shibilaya. We want you to know that the time has come to take off Meiser from the Shibolim that are on the Omer. Now, we don't paskin like this, by the way. We paskin like Rabbi Akiva, that Tfuah Shaloi Giazmana, you do not have to take off Masrot. This is against the way we paskin. But that's why he was asserting that, no, you have to see to it that you take the Meiser off now before the time of the Biur, and not afterwards. By the way, there's another issue over here, which was when exactly was this?
Yeah,
was
it before Rabbi Akiva?
I'm saying, when was he telling them you have to take it all? Rashi is saying that the Zman HaBiur is Erev Pesach. Now, in many places it says Erev Yom Tov Achron Shel Pesach. And here Rashi is saying it's Erev Pesach. There's a machlokas really when some people do both because of this. They do a Biur Erev Pesach also.
Well, it wasn't writing
it takes time. No, not when he wrote it. When was he telling them? Stop. What was the assumption? It's just not from the Gemara. It's just a question among the Rishonim. Normally, yes. That's what I'm saying. We wouldn't do this because we pass like Rabbi Akiva. But until it's finished, you don't take off the mice until it's enigma. Yeah, he was saying even still in the Omerim. Keneged Rabbi Akiva. Here's the point that's important to us. Take another letter and write like this. La'achana b'nei galvata b'bavel u'la'achana b'madai v'l'sha'a kol galvata b'Yisrael shalom chon yazgeh la'alam. Now here we find la'alam. Would there be a reason to only write people in Bavel, La'alam, just stay there. And not write to the B'nai Galil Ha'Elyon and B'nai Galil Ha'Tachton, which is why others, the Marshal, insist that it has to say it, because the next, in the previous two cases, why would we write Dafka to people of Chutzlar to say Shlomcha Yazgeh La'alam? What's wrong with the Shlomcha Yazgeh? Anyway, but here it says, Mohode'in anachdu lachon, we would like to inform you, the Gozlaya Rechichin ve'imrad kin v'zamna de'aviva lomata, same message, except that here he says, v'shafra milta ban poyu ban te'chavrayi, and it appears correct to me and to my colleagues, which the great honor of Reb Shimon ben Gamliel never mentioned. And we see that he seems to be a greater onav, even as a tuffy, than Reb Shimon ben Gamliel is an onav. V'yosifi tal shatada, yumin tlatin, we've added to the year 30 days. Says the Gemara, yeah, sure. Dilma bata de'abru. That could be after they already fired him. So after they fired, there's a number of different pshatim. After they fired Reb Gamliel, he became an onav. Or the pashut of pshat, it explains, after they fired him, when they took him back, there were now colleagues. Because they could, remember, they had to now split the nesiyut, essentially. Right? So it was Shabbat Shalmi. So he couldn't just say Ban Pai, because it had to be Ban Pai Chavrai also. So there's also another pshat, which said the Ibruha, meaning not him, but Ibruha, that it was after the year, which means that they were already involved. Whatever, that's already far-fetched.
So this is saying it's Reb Gamliel of Yavne, and it's Reb Shimon ben Gamliel long after the Korban, which affects the earlier question.
Correct.
And B'malet Be'har Abayis? Yeah. B'malet Be'har Abayis, even though there's a Korban, but there was something that was standing in Har Abayis. Even though the Romans are here, and it's after the
Korban,
it was not perceived as...
That's called the Mala. What do you mean? The southern wall is also
Mala Baharabai. Mala Liharabai and Biharabai.
Yeah, but that's called the Mala of the Harabai.
You're not
going
to perceive as a political threat to come into Yerushalayim so far. You thought they were
Yavne,
and they never came back.
Don't know. Use it for your course. Tana Rabbanan. Al Shiloshad Varim Abrim Et Hashana. Now here's the Braisa that we kept talking about before. So far we've had two brises to talk about another two sets of things. We had the sa'ad items, and we had the logistic items. This brisa talks about the timing of the year. So, al ha'aviv, the aviv means, has the tfua turned aviv? Is the tfua ripe? The tfua is ripe, then we can bring the omer on the 16th from it. If the tefuah isn't ripe, how are we supposed to bring the tefuah on the 15th? Now, the truth is, we can, as we'll see later on, if we need to, bring the omer from other locations.
Where
there's Sholosh Haratzot, which we'll get to, in which perhaps there it's ripe. But, and therefore it's not ma'atif totally, but the chatchila we want to be able to bring from Eretz Yehuda. So with korov to the Beis HaMikdash. So if the tefuah isn't ripe, or al perot ha'ilan, if it turns out that now the perot are not going to be ready for bikurim at the time of Shavuos, which is supposed to be the time of bikurim. So now this is already extrapolation. And as Tosus points out, because we're dealing with extrapolation, he understands this to be the main problem. Rashi understands that the reason that no one of these alone is sufficient, he talks about the difference between these and others, is alternatives. Tosfos says, look, these are basically extrapolations. We can't be absolutely certain. The weather may change. It may get very hot. Things may very rapidly develop. There may be a sudden rain with some following good sunshine, whatever. So we are extrapolating. When it comes to Shavuos, we're really extrapolating. I mean, we don't really know what exactly is going to happen there. The al hatkufa, and we also have to worry about the tkufa. Now, the tkufa could mean, the pashtus, that the tkufat tevet is going on too long and Pesach will not fall on the tkufa. And I'll tell you in a moment why that's a problem. And the other meaning of the tkufa is that the tkufat Tammuz is going to end up too late, so that Sukkot is going to be in the summertime. meaning that Kufas Tishrei won't fall until after Sukkot. Now, Tkufas Tishrei not falling until after Sukkot is a problem because of the, that's simply because of the Aliyah L'Regel and the travel and so on at that time.
Because it's more difficult?
Yeah.
The heat.
Yeah. So now, the question is like this. Here it says, Al Shnayim Me'em Me'abrim, V'Alechad Me'em Ein Me'abrim. So you cannot rely on one of these to be Me'abr the Shana. Now, the Rambam says, obviously, this is not referring to the Tkufa of Nisan. Because Shemores Chodesh Aviv, by definition, means that the whole point of Ibur HaShana is to see to it that Pesach should fall out in the Tkufa, and otherwise it's not going to be Pesach. So you can't possibly say that the meaning over here of the Tkufa was Tkufa's Nisan. That's the given. That, for that alone, that's the whole purpose of Ibur. These are other elements that we need to take into consideration, agricultural issues. So therefore, we certainly, I would never say, Alakas Me'amini Tkufas Nisan. Okay, the other things are not Ma'akev, and therefore we can manage somehow. Now, Bizman.
So Tkufas are by the sun?
The Tkufas work according to the sun. Right. Now, of course it's by the stars, because that's the only way that we know where the sun is. In other words, when the sun, the way in which we can position ourselves in our orbit around the sun, how do we know where we are? That's a way that we know where we are is by looking at the constellations that are behind the sun. So we can then tell where we are relative to the sun by looking through the sun, so to speak, at what's behind it. Right? You understand?
Yeah.
But ultimately, the Tkufa is the solar year. It's going to be determined by slicing the solar year into four parts, which essentially defines our seasons. So it means the actual seasons. Now, you can't have, it's all very nice to talk about a Chodesh Aviv, which is works out nicely according to the Tkufat of the Levana, the months, of the Levana, and perhaps it was a very hot year, and you actually have Tfuah, but how can you possibly call that the Aviv if it's not in the Pesach of the Tkufa? It's not during the Aviv. It's still wintertime. And that wintertime is defined by the sun. Yeah, the Aviv Shal Tkufa is the way we darshan it. So in other words, it's an absolute Aviv, not just an agricultural Aviv. And that absolute Aviv is what we call, that's already now, the time at which we understand that, like they'll always announce on the radio. Well, spring has officially begun. Well, it hasn't begun, but officially it's begun, right? That was an April Fool's scoop. Now, if it's al bizman she'aviv echad mi'am hakol sumechim, if the problem is aviv, then everybody's happy, because they're not being penalized, because anyway they're not going to have tevuah. So making them wait until they get the tevuah, and then it'll be kosher to eat, because that's when we're going to be bringing, that's great. What are we going to do now? We wouldn't have done it, we'd be in trouble. Because then the new tevuah would have remained also. So here everybody is happy that we waited until the tevuah grew, and now we're going to have lots of tevuah that's kosher and isn't chadash. And we're going to wait until next year to be matzah the tevuah. So that's something nobody can complain about. Reb Shimon ben Gamliel omer al hatkufa. Meaning what? Ibayalu, al hatkufas mechim, what did he mean? That everyone would be happy if it makes the tkufa fall out properly? Because that way, at least we pushed off the time of Sukkot? Is that what he's saying? Or is he saying the tkufa, not referring to the last piece, he's referring to al hatkufa ma'abrim. He's saying, no, wait a minute. The tkufa, that is alone sufficient reason to be ma'aber, not needing it to have one, two out of three. Just tkufa alone. Teku. It's not clear what he meant. Ken rabbanan. Al shalosha ratzot ma'abrim et hashana. We have to take into consideration three different areas of Eretz Yisrael. When we talk about Aviv, Aviv doesn't come at the same time. Again, we're not talking about the astronomical Aviv. We're talking about the Bishul HaPerot Aviv, the literal meaning of Aviv, that the Perot are Aviv. They're full now and fresh. So there's three lands in Eretz Yisrael: Yehuda, Eva, Yarden, and the Galil. Now, Alstayim Mehem Ma'abrim. When we talk about a problem on the in the Aviv, let's say if we have most of Eretz Yisrael not having the Aviv yet. So the Galil, it's still been cold. In Eivar Yarden, it's still been cold. In Yehuda, it's been warm. In the Negev, it's been warm. So we have plenty of tefua from there. Nonetheless, the chiddush over here is that Afal Pikein, we won't allow the year to fall on in such a way that we should take the tefua from Yehuda, leaving most people without the Omer, without the Omer being matter their tefua. And vice versa too. Let's say if we find that the tefua that we want to use for the Omer is now ready to bring for the Omer, and if we're going to put it off for a month because of these other problems, we're going to end up not being able to bring it for the Omer because it's not going to be Rach Ramal. That's be Karmal, right? Rach Ramal. We'll have to go and bring it from somewhere else. Nonetheless, we don't look only at Eretz Yehuda. So Al Achat Mehem Ein Ma'abrim Bizman Yehuda Achat Mehem Akot Semechim. Everybody is very happy when it works out that we were Ma'abrim in order to make the Aviv good in Eretz Yehuda, because I mean that's where we want to bring the Omer from. She'in Omer Ba'alam Yehuda. Tana Rabbanan in Ma'abrim Et Hashanim Elam Yehuda. Now this is a tremendous new way of looking at things. When we talk about the question of being Ma'abrim in Eretz Yisrael or Ma'abrim in the Beis Hamikdash, here we say anywhere in Eretz Yehuda is fine. The Imibruah B'Galil Mi'uberet. If B'Yavad we were Ma'aber, the Shona in the Galil, it's good. Heiv Chananya Yishono Imibruah B'Galil Eina Mu'uberet. As a matter of fact, we have here a Shita that even B'Yavad it wouldn't be kosher. Amr Abiyuda B'Rezer Rishimim B'Pazi My Taima D'Chananya Yishono. Where would we get such an idea that it's Ma'akev that you have to be in Eretz Yehuda? Here's an amazing Raya. Omar Kol Lishichno Tidrushu Uvata Shama Kol Drishasha Todoresh Lo Yiyu Ela Bishichno Shel Makom. Anything that you are coming to be Doresh from the Shechina, you have to go to the Makom of the Shechina. So the Makom of the Shechina, but normally we think about that as being the Beis HaMikdash. Here it's clear that it's not a reference to Beis HaMikdash alone, that's for sure. I mean, it could be a reference to Yerushalayim as a whole, as Yehuda. That's how Rashi learns. But again, this touches on the question of that, is that the Mokam Ashkina, the Rambam saying that this area is all considered to be Migdash, because it's Mukudash in terms of Achila of Kachim Kali, and if anything that's in Yerushalayim is kosher for Achilas Kachim, so it's really part of the Beis HaMikdash in that sense, the extension of the Beis HaMikdash. So here we see that that's actually Merubah is in the Pasuk itself of Shichno. Tana Rabbanan in Ma'abrim et Hashana ala Biyom. By the way, Tosis points out that we have many cases where the Yibur took place even in Chutz Laretz. And the Gemara talks about this. Oh, it talks about this in Rosh Hashanah, about the Yibur and Chutz Laretz. There's basically two approaches. One place the Gemara says that if lo iniach komoto Eretz Yisrael, there's no one that's capable in Eretz Yisrael of the same level of diuk and godless as the one who's in Chutz Laretz, and he can be Ma'abr in Chutz Laretz. Others learn that where it says in those many of these cases, it says that they were Ma'abr, it means that they created the psak of the Ibur. But the actual Ibur was then, the psak was sent to do in Eretz Yisrael. So the actual Ibur took place in Eretz Yisrael. Furthermore, Ibur Shana is an act of Beit Din, and as an act of Beit Din, it has to take place in the daytime. And Omar Rabbi Abba Mikra, where do we see this in the Pasuk? Tiku b'chodesh shofar, b'kesel liyom chagenu. Okay, what is this referring to? There's only one chag that the chodesh is mitkaseba. That's got to be Rosh Hashanah. It says there, that's right. Tichok liYisraelu mishpat leloi Yaakov. Now, the chok that is done at this time of the year, meaning on a day of Rosh Chodesh, what chok is that? Kiddush HaChodesh, has a din of mishpat. And a din of mishpat, we learn out, has to be Biyom, because it says Biyom Himchilo et Banav. So we darshan all, if you recall from the Menot Slof, but we darshan all dinim of Mishpat from this dinim of Nachala, which tells us that the Kiddush HaKodesh itself is like the Mishpat Elokei Yaakov, and has to be done during the daytime, like all Maaseh Beit Din. And now Reb Barnea will tell us where the Daf Yomi is tomorrow. Well, here are the options.